You are welcome to the podcast of Dominion Chapel International, the special place. We are a church that believes in pure worship, unadulterated word and family. Be enlightened as you listen to this message.
This is our year of what? And what is happening? One more time, the year of what? What's happening to you? One more time. Amen. It means that this is our year of kingdom influence. It means that wherever we find ourselves, God will be seen there. It means wherever we appear, God has appeared. It means when we get to a place, there's a problem, we are the solution, we have come on two legs. Praise the name of Jesus. It means that this year, I don't know about you, but for me, I am people's answered prayers. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's a month of what? Consecration. The one key word when you look at consecration is separation. Amen. We are separated from and separated to. Remember the last time I shared that we depart from to be part of. So we depart from to be part of. And we looked at that in the book of Psalms. Let's go there before we go to the key scripture. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to verse number 3. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Let's read it quickly. Mahashen Kobahai. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight. So you see the verse number 1 is his departure from. And the verse 2 is his departure to. Amen. And what is he departed to? He delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. What are the results? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. If he says that his leaves shall not wither, it means there's a tendency that there's a season where there's withering of leaves. But his will be different because of where he's planted. Praise God. So consecration is it talks about separation. Anytime God is going to use a person and make that person a showroom of his power, a showroom of his agenda, he takes them out of where they are. One key person that comes to mind is Abraham. Go to Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Let's read what is happening there. Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Verse 2, I will make us. So before I can do the program of making on you, you will have to be separated from where you're coming from. God cannot leave you amongst the problem to be a solution. He will always take you out and then bring you back. You see the same thing happened to Moses. Moses is in Egypt. God finds a way to take him out. And for 40 years, he's learning how to serve, not be a prince, to be served. So 40 years, he is the one serving. 40 years before now, they were serving him. 40 years, and he has to learn service. God will never use a person who can't serve. God will never. Because when God is going to use a person, using is simply being a servant. Serving God's purpose while serving people. And so God had to take that mentality from him. So 40 years he was being served. 40 years he had to serve. When he was done with that course, then God now calls him to serve his people. There's no one who is high and lifted that God will lift. You're already occupied. Praise the name of Jesus. One of the things that comes to our mind this month of consecration is that we must pursue humility and service. In this month, one of the prayers we'll be praying, apart from what we're praying together, is that the Lord will give us the spirit of humility. I think some few days ago, I was praying and studying. Lord drew my attention to humility. So I decided to begin to locate all the scriptures on humility. And I realized something, that you can never talk of humility if you are disobedient. You can never talk of humility if you are not submissive. Humility and arrogance don't work together. Humility does not work in disobedience. You don't do what you like to claim that you're humble. It doesn't happen. And one of the things that we all must grasp in this month of consecration, if our light is going to shine, is to allow God humble us. God, humble me. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so you say that God takes him out. So before the making happens, there had to be a separation. 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 It's so beautiful that when you look at the book of Genesis chapter number 1, right from the time God begins to create, He creates and separates, So everything that God created could not function as God desired until they were separated. Give us Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1, quickly. Genesis 1. Now it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Verse number 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse number 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now go on. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He separated from darkness. So for the light to still function the way it should function, he separated from the darkness. And then made sure darkness will never have the capacity to understand the operations of light. And so John chapter 1, verse number 5 says, and the light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended not. So when God took light out of darkness, he created light, created darkness. He now separated them for functioning. So God will always separate for proper functioning. So separation has been part of God's program all this while. So God will just pick Adam, and out of Adam, he brings out Eve. When God had to do a new program, he took Noah out of the many. He took one, separated, and did his program. When God had to now build a nation by which his seed would come from, he took Abraham, separated him, and then used him. When God had to take Israel out of Egypt, he took Moses, and then he does that. So all through God's program, anyone that was relevant in God's agenda, God had to separate. Are you here? Praise God. Even the New Testament. So you can't talk about shining if we can't talk about separation. You can't be like them and change them. He must take you out, make you like himself, and bring you back in. You become a virus in the system and change things. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. So you see that consecration concentrates on separation. Praise God. Now, this is our year of influence. I thought you say amen to that one. This is our year of influence. You're going to affect the lives of many. But that program of God is demanding for coming out of them. So you are separated from to be part of something else. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, for God to separate us simply means that he's taking us out to be partners with him in his program. So there's an issue of partnership here. Amen. You are God's partner in what he wants to do this year. You are God's partner. What a privilege. You are God's what? Praise the name of Jesus. You are God's what? Praise the name of Jesus. Now, as God's partner, interestingly, that's how God wants you to be. Amos chapter 3, verse number 3 says that can two walk together except... Let's see it. I hope you're still with me. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can I hear that? Unless they are one? So God is separating us from everything that we are comfortable with. God is separating us from everything that we've known before now. God is separating us from every success we've had in the past. He's taking us out of every failures we've had in the past. He's taking us out of every program we had in the past. Anything that we are used to, God is taking us out of it to add us to his program, and therefore there'll be a partnership. Now, in partnership, remember that Jesus Christ said that if you are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. He said, come and take on my yoke. My yoke is light. And we know what a yoke is. We've learned in this church over time. So one big ox and a small ox cannot be yoked properly together. They must have the same height. They must be of the same height so that the yoke is not a burden to the other. Is that okay, people of God? So for God to call us to a place of partnership, it means that God also wants us to be where he is. If we are not where he is, then we cannot do what he wants to do. Glory to God. And this is the reason why a secular singer can't sing a gospel song. Even if you put Jesus. The putting of Jesus doesn't make it a gospel song. It's a gospel song because the person is gospel. It's not a song you're singing that makes you. Then we'll call the donkey that spoke to the master as a man. As a prophet, sir. You're a donkey. We're just privileged to speak like a man. We should not even understand what you're saying. And that was for a moment. So a secular singer doing a gospel song does not make it a gospel song, because the gospel is not just words, an encounter you've had. You're a witness. And we're going to come to that scripture. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So God wants us to be like him, and therefore we must take on the ways of God. The ways of God. Now, in this program of God, number one, I said that God is making us partners. God is making us partners. God will never do a thing amongst men without a man. God will never do a thing amongst men. God's program for man is carried out by men. God's agenda amongst men is carried out by men. God will not have an agenda for men and bring a dog to do it. He won't do that. And so as mighty as God is, his program is such that whatever he has to do with men, he will send an angel to come and do it. So when Cornelius' prayer and almsgiving had caught the attention of God, God says, send for that man. God sent an angel to send for a man. There are things men only can do. It's for men only. It's for men only. You know that advert, right? But men here I'm talking about the gender men, but all of us. So what God will do amongst men, he uses men to do what he has to do amongst men. You won't go and pick a dog to do it. You'll pick an angel to do it. You will not pick even the, no, nothing. It's a man that God is going to use. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. And so in God's program to bring man to that level, there's something God did. Amen. I hope you're following me. It's a year of influence. Amen. It's a year of impact. Amen. You are the reason why somebody's life will change. You are the reason why your family is going to change. You are the reason why souls are going to be discipled. They become pastors and prophets and apostles. Say, God will use me for this. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. So that is why God is demanding from us in this first month to come out amongst them. Come from them. Separate from them. Don't be like them. Don't be like the old you. You can't be the same old you and God will use. He will not put a new wine in old wine skin. God will not do that. That's why God will change you before he now charges you. Hallelujah. And so Jesus Christ is about to be, he has finished his work. He's done what he's come to do. He's about to, you know, be taken up. And he has selected some men he's going to use. Men who are going to continue his work. And that's why we are called the body of Christ. So the head, assume it, the head is in heaven and the body is down. And I always say something that no one knew how God looked like until Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ is the true definition of God. God was a mystery until Christ came. Christ revealed God. Christ revealed God. So when you read the Gospels, you are seeing God. Jesus Christ said to them that he that has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus Christ was the revelation of the Father. Apostle Paul says that he's the express image. The express. If you're looking for God, see Jesus, you have seen God. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Praise God. Jesus is the picture of God. If you have to take a picture of God, you take a picture of God, what you come out is Jesus. That's the picture. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ refers to us as his body. Look at the book of Ephesians carefully. You see there. We are his body. He's the head. He's the head. We are the body. So it means that whatever that he was doing or did when he walked on the face of the earth, now that he has ascended, this morning I was praying, the Lord laid something in my heart. He said, the living proof, the living Christ. He said, you are my living proof that I'm alive. So if I'm not showing forth the proof of resurrection, I am not a good witness. Are you with me? So whatever Christ was doing, check through the gospel, everything Christ did, raising the dead, preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel, healing the sick, walking on water, multiplying bread, making sure that members, Jesus Christ has a way of teaching ministry. He has a crusade. He was a speaker. He was the guest and host. When the program ended, he fed the people. Then sent his associate pastors to go home. Then he was taking care of people to go home. Hallelujah. Just some of us pastors be happy about that one. And the one we tell you to wait, if bishop have not gone, you shouldn't go. That would have been a good one, eh? That the bishop is around, then you have gone home. That's Jesus' time. Praise God. Are you with me? So he sends his associate pastors away. Then he now takes care of them. Mighty works Christ did. He gets to a funeral, he ends the tears and brings tears of joy. And he says, greater things than these shall ye do. Hallelujah. So whatever I was doing, if I didn't finish, you are the finisher. Elama Mahasha. It means that it's against the integrity of God's program that a sick person comes to me and go back with more headache. And I'm bringing us somewhere because we are ending the first week of our fast. We're going to the second week. And this is a year of light. We're shining. No, this year, you must, the sick must be healed. Are you getting me? The sick must be healed. The one who has lost hope, they must have hope. The one who has no faith must have faith. That's where we must be for this to happen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so all of these things that Christ did, we are his body. The proof that we are connected to him is that what he did, we are doing now and doing more. But Jesus knew something, that you can only do the things of Christ if you have the Spirit of Christ. So the book of Luke talks about how the head of the body was filled with the Holy Ghost. The book of Acts talks about how the body was filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you get my point? Okay. The person that wrote, okay, give us Luke chapter number 1, verse 1. Let's see if it's there. Are you following me? Are you sure? Can we all read together? 1, 2, 3, 4, go. Verse 2. Most Theophilus, you are here. Okay. Give us Acts chapter 1. Are you here? Can we read it now? What was the former account? Luke. You get the idea? So in the book of, when you read the book of Luke, you see that it's about Jesus. Now, one common factor you find in both Luke and Acts is the Holy Ghost. So you see that the emphasis was placed on the Holy Ghost a lot more about Jesus Christ in the book of Luke, much more than the other synoptic gospels. So you see in chapter number 4, verse 1, talks about he being full of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 14, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Chapter verse 18, he talks about the Spirit of the Lord upon me. It was that same place mentioned at the end. He says that, tarry ye in Jerusalem until your glory power from on high. You see, the emphasis was on the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Ghost worked with Jesus Christ in the book of Luke. And Acts of the Apostles, how the Holy Ghost worked with the apostles. So the reason the Acts of the Apostles was possible was because they had what the Jesus had. So Luke is like the Acts of the head. Acts of the Apostles is like the Acts of the body. So they couldn't have done what he did until they had what he had, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, if it's that serious, then also the body must learn the culture of the head. And one culture the head Jesus had was the culture of prayer. A And so you see in the book of Acts of the Apostles as well, several verses, they kept praying. You see, one of the things that personally I felt that worried some of us from the place where we were raised, the things the fathers were doing in the secret, they didn't tell us in the public. Yeah, I'm telling the truth. There was a time that I was in church and, you know, when the man of God was preaching, I never heard him preach about prayer. So in my mind, it's not needed. Take the word of faith. Bad word of faith. Things will happen. Then we take the word of faith. He said, you don't see anything. Then one day he taught on prayer. That was my first time hearing the man of God taught on prayer. And he led us in prayer. And the man was shouting, yaga, yaga. I said, hey, where now we are? No. And that's a challenge. You know, most times, that is why it's important that every year, the team that is given and the teachings for each month, you should know that it's a step upon step. This month, we took consecration. You see, there's a point of consecration that you think that nothing is important except consecration. You get the idea. And then we get another month. There's a month of soul winning. It's as if that nothing else you should do. The day Pastor Stanley taught us on soul winning, he said he prays a lot at night. I said, hey, so for one guy. No, those of you that went for the retreat, were you not surprised what he said? He said, you need a lot of prayer. But since I've known this man, that he's talking about, so he has never mentioned about prayer that way he said that day. He looked as if he said, you just step out and you go there. Receive Jesus. They have passion for souls. Not knowing the man wakes up at midnight and pray minimum 2 hours. Are you following me of God? My spiritual father and mentor, Bishop, nights upon nights that I hear him in his chair with his coffee, his notebook, and then the tongues are graduating. But the times where pastor, we don't do long prayer in church. Actually, prayer point, there are three in 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes. Oh, we were taught that 10 minutes, no, you are done. And the way they will speak about Ghanaians that pray, you'll be sad. But in their, these men are living a praying life. So don't see why they should teach you that one. It's a life. How can you walk away without praying? Must we teach you that one too? So most of us don't realize that the supernatural is a function of something that happens in the privacy, that you have to pull your body into it. That's what I'm trying to remind us today. I realize on the people of God, woo! Your understanding of scriptures is influenced by your prayer life. Your obedience authority by your prayer life. No, real prayer life. I'm not real prayer life. This is a conversation we're having. So I'll be done soon. Are you okay? So we must learn his culture. And all through the scriptures, look at Matthew, Mark. You see, the man is walking out, he just separates, go somewhere. Then Christ can be there. Recently I was telling Holy Ghost, I said, Holy Ghost, how was Christ able to go for his private? No, this is not Alpha Wow. When you're Reverend Jerezi, your private time of prayer. That some people can be with God. Now, if I truly love God, why will I stay with God for 1 hour and I'm tired? Because when you love somebody, hallelujah, hallelujah. A change of voice is important in this situation. Hallelujah. When you love somebody, it's like you enter eternity. It's true because love is actually eternal. So you're with a person, and most times the subject matters are nonsense throughout, from beginning to end. There's no sense anything you're saying. How many of you are witnesses? I hope I'm not alone. When you love somebody, some of you can be on phone with someone for hours and say, then you are there. You are doing several things, but you can't stop communicating with that person because you love to talk to that person. Then we say we love God. And then it's not even private prayer time, corporate prayer time. We lift up prayer. The beginning of the zeal is very high. That's the echo. Then you check the time. Say, 2 minutes now. 2 minutes. Have you done that before? That what bumpires are. So, what was that in there? Ha! Easy, oh. So, when we near break, now what Gmail say, Charlie, I have gone like some 1 hour B. Ha! When you have jail, share time now, 10 minutes. Then it's like the Holy Ghost said, me, they are 10 way. So I was wondering how Jesus Christ will go to the bush, go to the mountain around 8 o'clock, and the man returns at 5 a.m. And when he's coming, he's taking shortcuts on the sea. Then it made me realize something. One of the things about prayer, prayer has a way, it's a time machine. Prayer is a time machine. Scientists are looking for a time machine. We have it. It's prayer. Recently, I was praying, and the Lord told me that, he just told me clearly that he said, there are days that when you spend 1 hour, you have redeemed 10 years. Yeah, there are days that you're with God. Of course, he said that a day is as 1,000. So if you are with God for some hours, what's happening? Things are happening. Things are happening beyond your understanding. It's not only the request to be before God, but being with Him, being with eternity, brings time into correction. Christ had that culture. So you see Jesus Christ, He would just come. His eyes are blind. See. Then, like that. So, you watch the man, this man. See, Luke 11, eh? One day, say, sir, please, we have a question. Teach us to pray. But they watch the man's, the way he's doing things is connected to his prayer life. It's not like the Pharisees. When he prays, water is turned to wine. When he prays, teach us to pray. So I told, I said, Holy Ghost, teach me to tarry in prayer like Jesus did. What are you talking about, Jesus? You are the Word made flesh. But you see, Jesus Christ desired to leave that powerful 33 and a half years to show us how to live when the life comes into us. Jesus is amazing. No, he made us see how it looks like to be 12 years old. Now you understand? Now you are 12 years, but you are talking like you are an old man. And then I heard a Nigerian comedian made a statement, and it was quite interesting. It was intriguing because I think I kind of accept the picture he was trying to paint. He said, are you putting that Jesus Christ, when Mary came and said, we've been looking for you all these 3 days. And he said, don't you know I'm about my father's business? We think that Mary was like, okay, you let's go home. As bonesem. I am the one that heard what the angel said about you. You will not tell me. That's the uncle. Don't you realize that he didn't hear his voice again till he was 30? No, Yesu is teaching us that when you are under your parents, you're under your parents. Jesus is amazing. No wonder Paul, they kept preaching Jesus. Recently, Jesus told me, he said that people will not change until you keep preaching me. It is me that changes, not anything you are saying. So Paul, the apostle, they kept preaching Jesus Christ. Jesus. Him we preach. I said, family, you will preach Christ. What in Kwana? But there's so much. Why? Because God entrusted that mystery to him. Father, this year, entrust into my care the mysteries of Christ Jesus. One of my friends in a very big church in Ghana, he's part of a team in their commission that goes around once every year or so to audit their pastors. Not just money. They will sit in the service and be listening to you preach. Then they went to one of their branches. And this is a word-based church. I mean, even if you don't have anything to preach, you can take your overseer's message, write it and go and say, my bishop said I'm repeating it to you. It will be a blessing. The guy started preaching New Age theories. And he didn't even know why. Because he has no time to be with God. So he goes to Google. Googles the message. Bring it. Just change the author and put his name there. And he's preaching. One day in Nigeria, I don't know if I ever told my dad this, but in Benin City, we had a guest. Papa invited the guest for a conference, and the man was preaching. And when he said, I said, oh, Jesus. Because that was Dr. Masmore's book on Releasing the Potentials, page 1 to page like 60 or so. And everybody was jumping. He was jumping, but I couldn't jump because this is the book. I've read it. Do you know that church members can help their pastor grow? Do you know that? If you are studious in the word and you are prayerful, your pastor can't be a mediocre preacher. He has to advance. Oh, and the man was preaching, and you know there's a seed in you. I said, Job, Masboro. That was in 2001, and my mentor, Pastor Eric, gave me that book in the year 1999. And I'd come to revise it in the world's biggest library, my dad's library. I'd gone to read again there. I'd gone to read again there. So when the man was talking, people were shouting. I said, oh, why? So you take somebody message, you preach. No. You know that there's a way. In 2007, Papa did a conference. And he used my Masmore's book, and he brought the book out. The book was something on glory, sir. Papa brought the book out. Said, this is our textbook for this conference. That is integrity. Brought the book and said, this is our textbook for the conference. And he said, I'll be taking some things from this textbook and some things I learned from the textbook. That conference was a blessing in Tema. When people that read, be careful. I was studying, and the Lord opened my eyes, and I saw something in the realms of the spirit. Master, stop it. We've read it. Hallelujah. Jesus would tarry in prayer. Disciple says, no. This thing, you must teach us. And then they also came. They did nothing without prayer. My conversation to us tonight is that rebuild is a month of consecration. People of God, consecration as a life is not possible if you're not always on the altar of fire. And that place is prayer. So I just came to remind us. And hopefully tomorrow, when I have the privilege to share with you, I will tell you some very practical things about prayer. It is normal. They're going to pray, start yawning. No problem. Yawn. Oh, there are days. Father, I thank you. He understands your frailty. That's why he has the Holy Ghost there. That when you are weak, he comes there. He empowers you. As long as you remain there with that body. You see, I've never seen any time that the body has made us do things that benefit destiny. Check it and see. Show me one thing your body has made you do that benefits your destiny. No, you check it. You find it, let me know. Then your body is very different. My body had not prepared for me. Do thy will, oh God. Your flesh, anything you are doing as a believer that your flesh contends means that one is good for your destiny. What do? You drag the body there. There is no, people of God, in those days when they had to take their goats and their rams and get the atonement for their sins, the goats were not happy. No. There was no goat that was very happy about it. What kind of life is that? If we say, yeah, boy, what queens are they? Because of your sin, you live righteous. There was no goat that was smiling at this situation. Somebody told me of an incident that happened one abattoir. They had just, installed this automated way of slaughtering the cows. So It was organized such a way that they are lined up in the machine, so they can't move away. So when it's your turn, so when it kills one, then it push the rest, push it out like that. And so this particular cow, it was number three or so on the row. So that the one that went ahead, like, he didn't come back. So he started to move. Even the cow doesn't want to die. Move, the guy was shouting, move, was like, help me, help, help, help. But when I moved him, he's gone. So there was no sacrifice that was excited. No. In this New Testament, your sacrifice, your cow, your goat is your flesh. You must hold it by the neck. Say, you will pray. You will pray. You will pray. Oh boy. Oh, nah. Boy, boy. I told about the story of Archbishop Benson Ahusa, that he wake up at night when he feels sleepy, he go and stand at the edge of the story building and say, if you like fall, you die. You die. And sometimes you put soap in his eyes, they do pain him, say, huh, say, be awake. Because when it comes to things that benefit the flesh, there's no struggle, no contention. You want to watch series? Get your series, then you get series drink on the side. Then you are there. Then you are drinking. Then you are watching. I was like, hey! Sir, about 5 a.m. from 9, about 5. You didn't even notice. But if you had just said, let me just pray, you will yawn and yawn and yawn. You will yawn and yawn and yawn and yawn and so yawn that I say, Lord, you know what? Me and I can't say no more. Won't pray again. So let me go and sleep. After your mercy is over me, your ban over me is love. For thou hast loved me with an everlasting love. You say, even before I pray, you know. So, Lord, you know now. Oh, yeah. Answer. But prayer is more than what you want. And hopefully, if God gives a privilege on the all night, we'll talk a little more about prayer. But this is my prayer that. So, I didn't even go to the scripture. That was Acts 1:8. Just put that somewhere in case we talk about it. It's my prayer that the Lord will help all of us to build a very powerful prayer life. God, we are partners with Jesus. If he had a prayer culture, then you and I must have a prayer culture so that we can do greater things. This is our year of shining. My light is shining. My light is shining. I don't want to be like a foolish virgin that had light but no oil. I want to have oil. Glory to God. One of the key things for us in this year from the bishop is that we're going to be so focused on discipleship, so intentional. But how shall you disciple if you're not a disciple? That is why this first month is so crucial to all of us. The prayers we are praying are not joking prayers. They are very powerful prayers we are praying. Hallelujah. I know you are shy. You just follow the one who is not shy. Say, you preach, I'll hold the track. Come on, can't say channel. Say, Matthew is Matthew. In kind, no kind. By the time you go 2-3, you can't say to the person, my brother, Jesus loves you. He loves you. If you have a good testimony there, say, me, you see, I used to have a farm for me. Yes. Yeah. 3 rows was even small. The whole farm, half in a day. I smoke everything. But Jesus Christ changed my life. That shyness will go in the place of prayer. The boldness to pray for the sake will come in the place of prayer. The devil knows what prayer can do for us. That is why he finds ways, deceptive ways, not for us to pray. So we want to understand that we are partners with Jesus. And as partners with Jesus, he knows that we can't do what he did if we don't have what he had. If he's that serious, you must also look at his culture. He had a culture, a life of prayer. And so we too want to trust the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to help us build a culture of prayer. Oh, people of God, I know what it means to be a pastor. You're not prayerful. Because when you hold the Bible, you can preach. You will preach. E.M. Bounds said something that the preacher outlives the message or the sermon. He said, it is the man that makes the sermon, not the sermon. When the sermon is over, the preacher's life lingers on. So men are looking for methods, But men are God's methods, men of prayer. I tell you, when that part of us is genuinely, see, we're having a good time. Last year we did a lot of praying, but it must get into our private prayer life. When it gets there, there are many things that, let me end this example. Some years ago in the 90s in Lokoja, Papa invited a man of God who gave an analogy that has not left me all these years. He said, when you have porridge, let's say porridge, you know, you prepare porridge and then you pour some in the bowl and you leave it there for a while. Don't come and leave it there for a while. After a while, you see that it will have a layer. Now, at that layer, the fly can perch on it. The fly can just come, have a party there, bring their neighbors around. The birthday, Robert Skanda yesterday. That's the name of the man of God, Robert Skanda. The name alone make you pray. You know? And he said that all you need to stop that unwanted visitor is to stir the porridge. When you stir, there's heat under, but there's a layer. The heat is not gone, it's there. You have the heat, it's still there. All you need is a stirring of prayer and that heat to come out. That's what to do for the rest of the fasting in these 21 days. The heat that is there, genuinely by yourself, that you can stand somewhere with God and you what this there's this one soul in your area that it needs 3 hours prayer because the thing worried that guy is too much. And you are there, Father. I pray for upon. Something I realized about the fathers in their prayer life. They never stopped praying until they felt peace. They had a tarrying grace. We have quick action. Pastor, you know, I want to come and talk to you. There's this brother. We're actually childhood friends. We grew up together. We've just been friends. I mean, the family knows me. Family knows me online. But recently, he came back from the Yomas and he asked me out. And Pastor said, have you prayed about it? Pastor, I prayed about it. Oh boy. No. There's a place where you take that thing as a subject and you are there. God has, you've not heard anything. You are still there. Until they feel peace, they don't get up. But our generation, we are quick fix. It can bang, bang, you're gone. Bang, everything fast. We have remedials. Fast. Those days don't have remedials. If you don't pass, you stay at home. We have remedials. So what you couldn't pass in 4 years in one place as a sole goal, you didn't pass. You want to pass it in 1 year, having other things been done. You are super. That is it. There will be a stirring in our spirit. The fire on the inside will come out. Oh, rise to your feet. Can we speak in tongues for just some 5 minutes? Just speak in tongues.
God bless you for listening to this message. You can also enjoy our messages on Anchor, Spotify, Podcast Addict, and all other podcast platforms. Visit us at Dominion Chapel International, the special place near the XGI building, Shashi, Accra. Do remember to subscribe to this podcast to receive more life-impacting teachings by our seasoned ministers of the gospel every single week. You can also follow DCI, the special place, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Always remember that God loves you.